Well, I've enjoyed it so far tonight. That was a good job, Mylon. I appreciate what you had to say. And that song that was right on the spot, it kind of reminded me of Wednesday night and the service we had on prayer and a great time we had together there. I just want to testify before I get started. It's been a long time since I have. And I just appreciate the message Brother Ziegler brought the other Sunday night. I believe it was about 2 weeks ago. From Luke 5, and how that has stuck with me, and thinking about going to college, and the worries and the things you can fret about so much, and it just keeps coming back to me how that. Sorry if I get a little bit emotional, because it just kind of keeps coming back to me how Jesus told Simon to let your nets down for a draught, you know, and he knew exactly where those fish was going to be as he brought out and. He had it planned just like he wanted it. I mean, Simon, he didn't necessarily all he could do was trust God and trust Jesus with what he had told him, and go from there. And he did, even if he'd been out all night and found nothing, and he came up and he was rewarded. And I just want to thank God for how he helped me with that message and just blessed my heart. Troy Thomas, would you stand and would you pray for this section of the service? Thank you. I'm going to read a verse from 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, and then I will move on over to 2 Timothy and read some verses from there and go from there. But while you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. How many of you could consider yourselves outgoing? Let's see, I have a show of hands. Anybody consider themselves like really outgoing? Wow, just a few of you. Anybody here kind of half timid? You could probably feel like you could get up here and do this if you had to, but it's really hard. Anybody says it can do a few? How many of you are really, really, really timid? No way. No way you can get up here. No way you can do any of that stuff. Okay, and then a whole bunch of you that aren't going to say anything. All right. Well, I'm going to read from, like as I said, from 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. And we're kind of dealing with Paul towards the end of his life. He'd been on several missionary journeys, and Timothy had been with him on some of that time. And Timothy is kind of this, I kind of picture him as this small guy. I kind of relate to him rather well, to be honest with you. Very timid, if I put him in my mind. He's this very backward guy. Does not feel like he can get up here at all. Not anything. He has been developing his talent. And God has been using Paul to kind of lay a little bit more responsibility on him, little by little. And now he's loaded with a huge responsibility. He's pastoring now, and Paul's not with him as he had been for a while, and so he's giving him some final instruction, knowing his time is not too far at hand. He's going to be dying and going on to heaven, and he has two letters he's written to him, and he wants to give him some final instructions. And I want to read that one verse from 1 Timothy, and then I will go to, I believe it's 2 Timothy, and I'll start on chapter 2, verse 19. But let's go to 4, verse 12 right now. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. As I said, Timothy's pretty young, probably a little bit older than I am at this time. And so Paul was giving him that last final instruction, and both these two books are full of it, as I said before. But I have not time to preach both books clear through, so I'm not going to do that. But I want to break into I want to start in verse 19 of chapter 2, if you want to follow along with me as I throughout this sermon. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And this is the part I'm wanting you to notice here. He says to Timothy, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, we're in a day and age when it's popular to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. You go up, if you walk to anybody on the street, probably more than 50% of the time, they're going to tell you, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. I do this. I do that. But like Miles mentioned about personal relationship, they lack that, and they're so far from that. They use it kind of as a cover, and they go on about their ways, hoping that maybe they'll make it to heaven. But it goes much further than that. Paul's telling Timothy that whoever claims the name of Christ has to depart from iniquity. They can't just say, yeah, I'm a Christian, and expect to be one. They have to quit sinning. They have to quit their iniquity. They have any little thing that would come in their lives. Many people are so careful to let nothing slip except one little thing that nobody knows about. And God's been talking to them about it, and it's just something that, push it aside for a little bit. Paul's talking here of not only the big things that are open and that everybody can see, but the little things that you and I, and generally speaking, mankind, cannot see. But it's something that would hinder you from having that complete relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. He isn't meaning here some to honor, some to dishonor. Some people have a lower place in society. I mean, not society, but in God's plan, as it may seem. And some people, they're elevated and they are seen a lot and things like that. He's not talking about that. He's talking about some to honor is those vessels that are to honor are those that are obeying Christ, those that are doing exactly what He says, not letting anything get in the way. And when God works on them, He purifies their hearts and He polishes them up a little bit, or a lot, I mean. Then they have a brilliant luster, and they're really nice to look on, and they're quite an example if we apply it to that way. And then there's those that are wood and earth, as we notice. Those are people who sometimes there's some of those that are just out there in the world. They're not trying to do what they ought to do. And then there's some in the church, which is like the verse says, they're in a great house. There's some of each. Some people are just, they're trying to put on a show. They're trying to let people think that they're doing okay, doing great, but they're holding back in some area, and then they don't shine, and they're kind of just dull, as you put it. Let me change my notes. All young people, I want to challenge you as. Don't be like that wood and stone. Don't let things get in your way. Be an example of the believer. Be it in word, in conversation, in your deeds, in your faith, in your love. Let your love be first to Christ. Don't. I know we're young, and it says don't let people intimidate us. Don't let people intimidate us one way or the other to serve God or to not serve Him. Paul said, in verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, speaking of these things he talked about, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Paul says that if we want to be a vessel of honor, someone that is very respectable in God's sight, then all we have to do is cleanse ourselves from the filth that this world has to offer. We then will be a vessel of honor. We will be sanctified, not speaking necessarily of the, in this case, he's not speaking of the second definite work of grace. He's speaking of being set apart. We are set apart from the world, and we are also set apart to God as His personal possession. Nobody else can mess around with us because we're God's and we're His alone. Then we will also be useful for our Master Jesus Christ. Verse 22, flee also useful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Paul knew that Timothy was well grounded spiritually, but he also knew that he was young. And as a young person, we tend to think our minds be drawn fast to the immediate instant gratification. Although we know out there that there's something far greater than that. It's so much easier to trade. We don't have the experiences of the older people, and so it's so easy to trade the permanent for the immediate, and just kind of try to satisfy our instant desires, but those evil things that the devil would try to plague us with. But I mean, even the most spiritually grounded person, young person, you cannot say, okay, I'm okay because I know I'm spiritually grounded. You have to be on your guard. You have to be 100% on your guard, because as soon as you get to that place and you think you're there, you're going to fall. It's going to happen, because that's when the devil has you right where he wants you. He felt it very necessary to remind Timothy to flee them. But he also prescribed a remedy that, when followed, is a very successful way to avoid these type of things. He instructs, follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. The harder we pursue these things, these godly things that he has pointed out, and the more we set our sights on God and his people and being everything he wants us to be, the more dim these youthful lusts, as they're reported here, will become so dim, and that's why we don't focus on that. We can keep the devil away from us because we say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want those things. I have my sights on higher things, and God's got my attention. Yes. Pursue these good things that he's talked about with those that are calling on God of a pure heart. Only the people who have God's seal of approval are the ones that are going to get their prayers through. So, young person, look around you and mark the ones that you want to be with and hang around. Make friends of the people that really do get their these middle-aged people, these older people. Make friends of them. The ones that you count, that you can see, they're like people I want to be with. And you make them your friends. Make them the people you look up to and your heroes, because that's what you're going to be like. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Paul makes mention to Timothy of how some people always seem to come up with an argument, doesn't necessarily make sense, or just, you know, word war type things, because they want to make themselves look better. They want to put somebody else down so they can rise up above them. And he's saying, don't be involved in that kind of stuff. Don't let it even really affect you, because it's foolish. It's of the world. He's also saying, excuse me, find my spot. In fact, he wants Timothy to do the very opposite of this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Paul tells him you got to be gentle. You can't go about it in the same way everybody else does. You can't stuff truth down everybody's throats. They're not going to take it that way. But in the very next verse, he says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, in the next verse, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We must teach, we got to show them, everybody, we got to show other people in meekness, not, like I said, not stepping down their throats, the way that God has brought us to where we are. And we can't appear as a know-it-all, like Milo was talking about. I'm young, very young, and he's telling Timothy, you know, you can't appear that way. You can't look even one hint, because people will shut you off. But you can, very meekly, you can show them the way of salvation. You can lead them to it. And it says, and I read after one commentator, and he says it this way: the same God who gives us the discovery of truth does by his grace bring us the acknowledging of it. Otherwise, our hearts will continue in rebellion against it. It's not our duty to... It's our duty to show. It's God's duty to help them to acknowledge it and understand it and say, yeah, that was for me. I know I'm where I am and where I ought to be. And for him to help them move up in that area, because it's not going to work if we try to do it ourselves. We have to do our part, but we have to let him do his part. I want to close, read this first verse again. It says, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young people, do that. If you follow that with all your heart, you'll never be sorry, and you will be respectable, you'll be honored, beloved vessel, and to Christ.